the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Hello and welcome to this Christmas service. Today is Christmas. We keep on celebrating Christmas for 2 weeks in this end of the Christian church. So Merry Christmas. We're so delighted that you can join us. Would you join me now in the call to worship? We are here because we have heard a promise of peace, and we have faith its day will come. We have heard a rumor of justice, and we have faith its day will come. We have heard a whisper of hope, and we have faith its day will come. We have heard a hint of love, and we have faith its day will come. We have heard of the birth of the Christ child, and we have faith his day is here. Welcome to Christmas. Welcome to worship. Thanks be to God. If you have a candle at home that you light for worship, please go ahead and light it now as I relight the Christ candle. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have shed upon us the new light of your incarnate word. May this light, enkindled in our hearts, shine forth in our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Would you join me now in saying together the prayer of confession? Generous God, you give us the greatest gift of all, yourself, but often we find it hard to take notice. Forgive us, generous God, for the casual way we treat your gift of love. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. Through Christ. Amen.
And an angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." And the angel of the Lord says to you and to me, "Fear not, we are a redeemed people. Our sins have been forgiven, and through the newborn Christ, we have been invited into new life. Give thanks." And let God's people say, Amen.
Good morning. Today's reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 1, reading verses 41 to 52. Every year, the parents of Jesus went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12 years old, they went to the festival as usual. When the festival was over, they started back home, but the boy Jesus stayed in Jerusalem. His parents did not know this. They thought he was with the group, so they traveled a whole day and then started looking for him among their relatives and friends. They did not find him, so they went back to Jerusalem looking for him. On the third day, they found him in the temple, sitting with the Jewish teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed by his intelligent answers. His parents were astonished when they saw him, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been terribly worried trying to find you." He answered them, "Why did you have to look for me? Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand his answer. So Jesus went back with them to Nazareth, where he was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. Jesus grew both in body and in wisdom, gaining favor with God and men. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. And now may the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. The Sunday immediately following Christmas, in other words, this Sunday, the Sunday immediately following Christmas, which is to say the Sunday immediately following December 25th, always feels as if it arrives too quickly, always feels as if it is in far too much of a hurry to arrive at our doorstep. Mind you, in years in which its arrival is delayed, for instance, next year, when this Sunday falls on January 1st. In that sort of year, the arrival of Christmas Sunday doesn't always seem quite so hurried, certainly not in the way in which it comes at us this year. On such a year as this, when Christmas falls on a Saturday, we scarcely have time to give our heads a good shake, when lo and behold, Christmas Sunday shows up with a full head of steam. And it is the nature of the three gospel readings appointed for this Sunday that provide the most potent reminder that something strange is rumbling just beneath the surface, by which I am not referring to the rumbling at local malls as shoppers take in the Boxing Day specials. No. I mean the three different gospel readings, each of which cannot help but unsettle us, seem intentionally designed and chosen precisely in order to unsettle us. Indeed, as weird as it is this year to hear a story about the 12-year-old Jesus on the day immediately following the celebration of his birth, the gospel readings for the other 2 years in our 3-year lectionary cycle are quite frankly, even more unsettling. Last year, also from Luke's gospel, was the story of Joseph and Mary dedicating the infant Jesus in the temple. A warm and cozy episode, which, unlike this morning's, does have a comfortingly Christmassy feel to it. Until, that is, an old man by the name of Simeon gets into the act, a way by assuring Mary that both she and her child can anticipate a rough ride through life. Lots of good Christmas cheer in that, hey? Alas, if anything, it will get even more disturbing next year, when the gospel reading, this time drawn from Matthew's gospel, tells the sorry story of Herod's slaughter of Bethlehem's innocent wee ones. Not hard to understand why that story needs to be part of our observance of Christmas. But boy, does that one ever manage to dampen the mood. But for today, let's not linger there, nor with the words Simeon speaks to Mary. Let's stay with this year's story, that of a 12-year-old Jesus gone missing in action, and I must say, in keeping with the Christmas spirit, dampened though it may be on this Christmas Sunday, in keeping with the Christmas spirit, I am reminded of a saying attributed to Martin Luther, the one about no one truly understanding the full scandal of Christmas, the full scandal of the incarnation, divine word made flesh, until they have changed a dirty diaper. For our purposes this morning, however, perhaps we can adapt that saying by adding the proviso that no one can truly be said to comprehend the full weight, the full weightiness of Christmas, until they have managed to misplace a child for whom they have been handed full responsibility. That's kind of the stand-up comedian take on this morning's gospel episode. Hey, they lost Jesus. His parents lost him. Joseph and Mary managed to lose track of the Son of God, headed back to Nazareth without him, left him in the Jerusalem temple, and went home empty-handed. That's one take on this morning's story, a far from entirely fanciful take. And yet, in truth, he was hardly an infant. Mind you, by traditional reckoning, neither was he quite an adult. But Jesus, as a 12-year-old, was very much on the verge of adulthood. And yes, given that he appears to have never prior done anything quite like this, why would any of us imagine that his parents could have foreseen this unexpected turn of events? Is it that they lost Jesus? Or more to the point, is it that he chose for a brief day or two spell to lose them? That he, our Lord, chose to place his parents in a position where they would have no choice? Well, unless they chose simply to forget about him and go home. They had no choice but to turn around. The Greek word for that is metanoia, repentance, the Hebrew word shvua. No choice but to turn around and follow him back to Jerusalem, confirming their status not only as his parents, but yes, as two of his earliest followers, his earliest disciples. I'm reminded here of a lovely story told of one of the most remarkable of all the saints, a feisty woman by the name of Teresa of Avila, who lived back in 16th century Spain. Just as no one seems to be able to absolutely determine whether G.K. Chesterton really did say the words I attributed to him a couple of Sundays ago, no one has been able to prove with absolute certainty that this little vignette about Teresa really did transpire, but it's so in keeping with her character, I'll share it. It seems that during the final year of her life, Teresa set out with a handful of others on a long journey from her home monastery to establish other monastic communities in new locations. The journey turned out to be an arduous one, filled with a number of grave dangers. It fell to Teresa to encourage the others who were frightened as they journeyed along with her. As she led the group at one point on foot as they were crossing a swiftly flowing river, Teresa almost lost her footing and she cried out, "Oh my Lord, when will you cease from scattering obstacles in our path?" The answer she received from the Lord, "Do not complain, my daughter. for it is ever thus that I treat my friends, to which Teresa is famously said to have responded, "Well, Lord, that also explains why you have so few of them." There is for me something about that little anecdote that somehow manages to capture a dimension. I think a crucial dimension of the experience Mary and Joseph endured as they frantically searched for their son in the aftermath of the annual Passover pilgrimage. Indeed, that's one of the reasons today's gospel story somehow doesn't really feel like it belongs at Christmas. It's not merely that we've jumped 12 years from Christ's infancy to his final pre-adolescent days. It's more than that. There's a further factor. It's that within a few hours of celebrating the gift of Jesus, the gift of the Bethlehem babe, a gift for which we can take none of the credit, we are now suddenly thrust into a story that leaves us no choice but to recognize that there are responsibilities that come to those on the receiving end of this particular gift, including the gift's original stewards, Joseph and Mary. Now they must truly search for him. Now they must seek him out in the desperate hope that they will, at the end of the day, be enabled to find him. And this past week, as I pondered this beautiful, haunting story, I was incapable of not hearing it in light of what must surely be counted as one of the most precious of the promises found anywhere in the gospel. And Jesus said, "And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you." The gospel, you see, is many things, but one of the things it most certainly is not is a spectator sport in which we get to sit on the sidelines, munch popcorn, and watch the action from a safe distance. Yes, at Christmas proper, we are invited to view the splendor of the newborn Christ as he lays in his mother's arms. And yes, on Good Friday, God help us, we are invited to take in, to view the image of the cross in all of its beauty and all of its horror. And yes, of course, on Easter Sunday, there's no reason why we should not luxuriate in the splendid vision of the empty tomb. All well and good. And yet for those who return on the Sundays following Easter, the Sundays following Christmas, not only the hope but the expectation, Christ's hope and expectation, is that spectators will become participants, that those who know themselves to have received the gift of Christ will be prepared to take up the joyful but not always easy responsibility for tending that gift. And yes, that those who know themselves to have been found by the good and gracious God who came to us in Jesus will embrace the challenge posed to them when he turns to invite them to seek after him, knowing that he yearns for us to find him. And yes, knowing that when we knock, the door will open. That when we ask, we will receive abundantly. And yes, that when we too seek, we will find. Much like Joseph and Mary, who did find their precious child, who even at the tender age of 12 had thereby managed, lo and behold, as they sought him, to lead them straight into his father's of the Father's love begotten ere the worlds began,
He is Alpha and Omega. He the source, the ending. He of all things that have been and that future years shall see evermore and evermore. O ye heights of heaven, adore him, angel hosts, his praises sing, powers, dominions, bow before him, and extol our God and King. Let no tongue on earth be silent, every voice in concert ring, evermore and evermore. May the joy of Christ's coming be ours, yours and mine, in our hearts, on our lips, to fill our world in his precious name. Amen.
Hello. Please join me in these, the prayers of the people. Holy One, be the light in our darkness. As we have lit the candle of hope, we pray for those who feel hopeless. As we have lit the candle of peace, we pray for all victims of violence. As we have lit the candle of joy, we pray for those whose hearts are weighted down by sorrow. As we have lit the candle of love, we pray for those who do not feel loved, for those who struggled to love others. Holy One, be the light in our darkness, that we might reflect your light into the dark corners of our world. Pause, my children, in this space between Christmas parties and those of the new year, between gift unwrapping and cleaning up, between longing and thanksgiving, between endings and beginnings, between dismay and joy, between sacred and ordinary. Pause and remember whose you are and whose you will always be. Pause and remember in whose name you pray and whose love you seek and hold and give away. Pause and pray that all may see the world with the eyes of wonder of the newborn Christ, with a loving heart of God's act of self-giving. Pause and pray that we may all treat one another with the honor and adoration Mary and Joseph, shepherds and wise ones, angels and all the heavenly choir showed to the tiny child. In the name of Christ, we pray for every person, living now, gone before, or yet to come, in every nation on earth. In the name of Christ we pray, Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We thank you again for your gift of love through your givings, online and in person. I ask you now to pray this prayer with me over the gifts, dedicating them again to God's purposes. God of light, in the birth of your Son, we see your glory. Receive our gifts, and may we who share in the mystery of the newborn Christ grow daily in your love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Friends, on this Christmas Sunday, we have worshiped together. And now may the light that enlivens all the world, the light that darkness cannot overcome, love's pure light in Jesus Christ, shine on you all and shine on our world this day, throughout this sacred season and through all eternity. Friends, go forth into the world to share the good news of the newborn Christ. Amen.